Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On this week's episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast, we get back to our roots and discuss a divisive food item and how it's labeled. We've got some football news for you, including who is the likely week one starter at quarterback. And we've got your week one preview of the Ole Miss Rebels. The 23 Personnel Podcast starts right now. You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael. Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast, episode 29. It is game week. We are getting ready for Ole Miss. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody.
So, I say it's game week. We're actually recording a little early, but we will be doing our Ole Miss game preview, which will release the week of the first game. We are bound to get something right because we're recording a little early. We'll have to forgive us. Michael's got some family coming into town, and we can't get his mother-in-law on the podcast.
Right, and I'll be traveling that day. So,
oh, that's right. He's going on vacation too.
Yeah, I'll be driving in from lovely Grapevine, Texas. So
two podcasts.
Not a lot of podcast time.
Well, two podcast recordings in 1 week to make up for it.
Man, it's
2 days apart.
It's been a rough schedule.
No, we did our draft 2 days ago. And I'm already sweating. I'm really concerned about my receivers. Like, man, it's because you got Greer and Sills.
And Sills. You got the 1-2 punch.
I'm screwed. Although I do have. Well, see, and if you didn't get the number one Oklahoma receiver, too, if I had gotten Marquise Brown, I think it would have been a little more.
I remember I stole that away from you because you had Kyler Murray, who I'm sure you're glad to know was officially named the starter today.
Oh, I'm so breathe a sigh of relief.
Crisis averted.
Right?
That number one draft pick goes to good use. I want all of y'all to know that if Spencer and I are a little sluggish this evening, it's because Spencer came over to my house here at 23 Personnel HQ North with chips and queso from Caprock Cafe, and I'm still reeling from it. We had to eat all of them before we started recording because we knew we couldn't handle it. Having chips and queso sitting out here, y'all would have been hearing a lot of crunching, and
we probably lost all of our listeners if we'd eaten chips.
Been a bizarre chips. Experience that no one would have wanted to be a part of, but us. We would have been enjoying it.
So, speaking of, just because I'm going to make this connection, I'm not a big fan of, like, extra mouth noises, and I'm feeling, like, really conscious of myself making extra mouth noises. I tried to listen to another podcast the other day. It was a football-related podcast, and they were doing a Big 12 preview. I think they were Oklahoma fans, but anyway, that's not the point where their fandom lies. I don't know if it was like dude's mic was like right in his mouth or what, but he was
in his mouth.
They hadn't even started. They hadn't even gotten
one of those sucker microphones where you just put it in your mouth and you click it on your teeth. And
they hadn't even gotten to the Texas Tech preview, and I could not take it anymore. Turned it off. I was like, I can't do this dude's mouth. And they also had like 5 people on the podcast. Like, well, so they had 5 regular hosts, and they brought in Jarrett Johnson from Inside the Redditor. So they had 6 people on the podcast.
Wow.
And that episode was 2 hours long. I was like, we may have done a 2-hour long episode. I think we split it up. I was like, I'm not making it through 2 hours. I get that feeling now when we released like those first episodes, especially when we had Hunter on. It was like an hour 45.
Right,
like,
the 3 of us get going. We can't help it. We can't help ourselves.
So 2 hours, dude's mouth. I was like, I can't take it. I just couldn't do it.
I can sympathize with that. There's certain, and I may have one of them, there are certain voices that I can't do, certain patterns of speech that people use. Unfortunately, it's a lot of It's a lot of people on, like, reporters on NPR or This American Life. There's just kind of some certain inflections and patterns that just, they annoy me, but it's not enough for me to quit listening. It's just one of those things you're kind of grown a little bit. Oh, this person's doing this report. Okay. All right. I can make it through. I'll be fine.
So speaking of like having an inflection of a news person, one, we have a former broadcast journalist in our office now. Mm-hmm. And we've done some Facebook Live where she's the host on the video. Like she flips into her news, her anchor voice, and it's hilarious. Two, with all the regents and all the weirdness that's been going on with Texas Tech and the athletic program, I've been listening to some of the non-sports talk radio guys. I realize I don't have a voice for radio.
I don't think I do either. I like, have the accent for West Texas radio, but I don't think I have the voice.
So I've been listening to some of the guys from KFYO and your good friend Chad Hasty. Shout out to him for getting us some Robert Duncan School of Veterinary pins.
We won them. If anyone asks, we won them. They were giving some away during the radio show the other day. I've got to go pick them up.
Yeah, it was Michael doing some air quotes. Sorry, throw him under the bus. No, but like, so I've been listening to some of his coverage and watching some of his videos. Like, one, props to him for being able to do a show, even like just small truncated sections of it by himself. The 20 seconds I had to do it by myself when you got up to go check on a door, I felt I was lost. And he's doing, you know,
he's doing the whole show, yeah. He does the whole show unless he takes calls or has an interview.
And there are guys like that. I just like, wow.
He'll do full segments, 7-10 minutes, just him. I don't know how he does it.
No.
And what's great about him, too, is as far as if you're just hanging out with him, he talks the same way. It's not like he doesn't put on a radio voice or anything. He just happens to have a good radio. Yeah. That's pretty much it. And back to you being around someone who worked in broadcasting in our church group a few years ago. We had one of the local news anchors in town, and she was great. But just every time, like, she would choose to read a passage of the Bible or, you know, whatever they were reading, and it was like a switch. Like, she couldn't help it. It just immediately went into perfect dictation, a little bit of projecting. Just it was great because you could just see
a neutral accent.
Yeah, very, very non-regional dialect. The rest of the time, you know, you didn't think twice about it. But whenever she was reading, man, it was always, it made you pay attention. Oh, this is important.
we've got a local anchor in our church congregation now. And instead of like volunteering, I think he's assigned, like whenever there's a reading, hey, John, would you mind reading this?
he gets picked out of the group.
He turns on his news anchor and reads perfectly. And but so you brought up the regional dialect with, you know, talking about accents and everything. I think it's good as any segue into our intro topic. We're gonna bring it back to our roots here. We're going back to food.
Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, this is where food and sports clash at the goal line.
Absolutely.
And this podcast is quite, I hate to use the word literally, but it is definitely fueled by queso today.
Definitely.
We have had queso already, and now we're going to talk about kolaches.
So Michael had an experience in his office recently, this morning, yesterday,
it was just this
week,
morning, yeah.
Where they were talking about kolaches, some disagreements on what is a kolache in terms of the actual food item.
We call kolaches out here in West Texas.
Reminds me of the burrito taco debate.
I could see that.
Because
it's
growing
similar.
Up in East Texas, I did not call what we're about to talk about a kolache. Anyway, so I'll let you set up your office.
Yeah, we had one of our coworkers. I'll use names. No one's going to listen. Dustin might listen, and which is good. I'll use his name. But
you've already used it.
So. No, I was going to use his. But one of our coworkers, Liz, brought breakfast for the office this morning, and she sent out an email saying that there are donuts and sausage rolls in the kitchen. That's what she called them. And so Dustin, who, like me, immediately picked up on that, I think he went and talked to her, and he said something like, hey, you know, thanks for not calling them kolaches, because that's really not what they are. And so he sent me this email after he talked to her, and he said, I was thanking Liz for the donuts and sausage rolls this morning and thanking her for not calling them kolaches. This led to a brief discussion on the spreading of lies by these bakeries up here. So I present to you, for your podcast, kolaches. Why bakers all over Texas are spreading lies to pass off a pig in a blanket as a kolache.
I will tell you, it's because of probably one very well-known bakery that does have Eastern European ties that can actually actually call what they are serving kolaches. And I think they're trying to ride those coattails. But you actually found an article on Texas Monthly. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, this is from the Texanist. In case y'all haven't read any of the Texanist stuff, the Texanist likes to talk in third person. I'm not sure what that is, but this is from...
Is that the author's name is the Texanist?
Well, he refers to himself as the Texanist. The author is actually David Courtney in this case, but the Texanist is kind of a...
Excuse me. Sorry.
Different author.
If you all heard that, I'm so sorry.
We don't have a dump button here. We're trying.
Not yet. our high-tech recording equipment may come into the office tomorrow, but it doesn't help us tonight.
No, so. But we'll get there. No, David Courtney, I believe, was the Texanist at this time. It's kind of like being... This is a very bold comparison. It's kind of like being James Bond or Doctor Who. It's just someone else will play them after a while. So someone wrote back in 2011. I'm not going to read their entire question, but they essentially kind of boiled it down to a similar question that Dustin raised today. And they went ahead and talked about how a real kolache, quote, is a fruit kolache. And this place that they went, where they were served kolaches, they had fruit kolaches, and then they had real, quote, real ones that had meat in them. And that clearly upset this guy that wrote into the Texanist. And so what the Texanist came up with was that there is another thing that's called a klobosnik. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Klobosniki.
Yeah.
It has an I at the end, but that's probably plural.
Which is basically what we're talking about. What you see in West Texas is a pig in a blanket.
Sausage roll.
Yeah, a sausage roll. Just, you could call it anything else like that. And so you see that in West Texas a lot, and that's what we think they really mean when they say it. But the Texanist does have a good suggestion at the end. He suggests, quote, that in the future you ignore all signage. Simply point at the case and say, I'll have two of those, one of those, three of that, and a cup of coffee, please, and let your taste buds determine the true state of our kolaches. So,
how many times do you go, like, actually go into a donut shop and don't order what the donuts are called? He's like, I want a couple of those, and you're pointing right at the case.
It's almost
that's what he's telling you to do.
It's almost like you're moved emotionally, like your heart is guiding you. So I think that's good advice. But Dustin, so, you're exactly right.
A true kolache has fruit, yes.
Yes, a true kolache is...
Maybe some cream cheese.
Yeah, and it doesn't even look like what we call a kolache. And I know you know this, Spencer, because you've actually been to West, and you've been around
to the motherland.
You've been to the motherland. You know, I've
checked stop.
Most of my breakfast pastries have been out here, where I thought a kolache was a pig in a blanket, basically, for probably till about 4 or 5 years ago. I realized that that wasn't a true kolache, yet I still call them that. But yeah, a true kolache is a flat piece of pastry with, excuse me.
Here we go, guys. I'm sorry. It's the queso.
It's a flat piece of pastry with fruit on it. And then, what did this guy call it? Popsica? Hang on. I've got to see what popsica is. But that's a topping that goes on it. And that's what a true one is. But it's basically just kind of a sugar topping, I think. Yeah, oh, so this is an angelfire.com website. That shows how old that is. A recipe for a kolache. Oh my gosh.
So if you're going to the Czech stop, their sweet topping, I think it's cream cheese based, but it is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have regular cream cheese, like without any fruit. They also do sausage rolls. And I can't tell you what they actually call them in the store. We looked up in their menu and it just says, under their pastries, it just says, sausage with cheese, and it's not like labeled a
self-explanatory
klobasniki.
Yeah, it's not going to be a klobasniki, or they definitely wouldn't call it a kolache there for sure.
So you'll need to let us know where you're listening from. Tell us what you call the pig in a blanket, sausage roll, meat-filled kolache goodness that we pick up in the mornings.
Oh yeah, they're still delicious.
They're so good.
They're great with you know, the cheapest yellow mustard you can find.
Dude, absolutely.
I like that too. And
a little bit of cheese. The jalapenos. Jalapenos is also really good.
Personal favorite.
Yep.
But whatever you call them, yeah, they're definitely not a traditional kolache.
All right. I know you probably tuned in to listen to an Ole Miss preview. We are moving on to football quickly. Speaking of, or just news moves quickly. News cycle.
It does.
We recorded Tuesday night, hours after Texas Tech running back De'Leon Ward had been arrested and all this kind of stuff. Woke up, released the podcast Wednesday morning. Before lunch Wednesday, he had been released. The charges had been dismissed. The whole case was put away. We're like, well,
the DA apologized?
I mean, so one, it's just this whole thing is a cluster, and it looks like it had to deal with some kind of clerical error, either with the DA or with the police department. It doesn't matter who. There was just a mix-up.
Possibly even the Texas Tech Police Department, since it occurred on campus.
Apparently, from everything we can see, Ward should not have been arrested. He should have been cleared
a
long time ago. Whatever happened, were supposed to happen to keep him from being arrested, or I don't know how it got messed up. He was not supposed to be arrested. He did, and it took him a while to clear it up. Happy that, you know, there wasn't any kind of impropriety. Although there was somebody suggesting on the Staking the Plains Facebook page that he's was able to get off because his attorney was friends with the outgoing district attorney. He's like, dude, like, they've got video, they've got testimony, all this kind of stuff. I'm sure they went through all this. The clerical error makes a lot of sense in why it would have happened if the details that we had seen at that point were true. It looks like Ward had his ID fraudulently used to gain access to the rec center where these devices were stolen. So they tracked that. I guess whoever stole it had at least a passing resemblance to Ward, since they do have video there. Again, I mean, unless it's like in the middle of the night, there's probably a lot of people going in and out. Difficult to identify one person over another one. So, anyways, since we recorded Tuesday, the case against Ward has been dismissed. No official word has come out from the program, although there wasn't one that came out after he was arrested. The assumption is all is as it was on Monday.
Yeah, but before this all, to normal.
Yeah, I would not expect this to have any kind of impact on Ward or his standing with the team.
No.
Especially since he had been cleared. And actually, so somebody actually pointed out that the clerical error makes sense, because if you look at the picture that they took of Ward after he had been booked, he looked annoyed.
Yeah, this I
is
saw
a
that too.
Severe inconvenience to like, me, and you can see it in his face.
I thought we had this figured out, guys. I thought we had this settled.
And we were so wrong. So anyways, we're happy that this whole thing had been cleared up, and how quickly it's been cleared up since it actually broke.
Kirby Hocut had some strong words backing him up at the luncheon, and I think they posted some of that, and I got to see some of it. But he was really adamant about supporting the kids and wanting it to be a place for your kids to go and know that they would be supported by the school until proven otherwise. So that was good to see. And to expand on you talking about the roommate using his fraudulent ID.
Well, we think
well, not his fraudulent ID. Yeah, they think that it was his roommate who was actually a walk-on at the time, who's no longer here. And if it was him who took it, that this same player had a theft case from October, just 1 month before, from stealing electronics. So that goodness, seems, man. You know... You don't want to assume he's guilty either, I guess. But
if that's him, his MO has been set, right?
Right. We can't do one thing with one player and one thing with another one, even though he's not on the team. So like, I can't assume the other guy's guilty, but it sure doesn't sound like Ward did anything.
Yeah. So unfortunately, there were a lot of Texas Tech fans that were quick to judge Ward's
very
guilt.
Quick. Very quick.
It's possible our podcast and our comments could have been lumped into that group of judging too quickly.
I should have gone back to listen because I was curious about it.
Either way, I want to make it clear that we're very glad that it's not, that he's been cleared, and that everything that was looking like it was pointing to him as being responsible for this was incorrect.
Right.
That it was really a clerical error on the part of the DA or the one of the police departments.
His lawyer even tweeted out that day,
the morning of, like, before it happens, like, Ward will be cleared.
He tweeted out the day he was arrested. But I didn't know what he meant, because I actually follow him on Twitter. I didn't know what he meant, but he tweeted out, have faith, fellow Red Raiders, always innocent until proven guilty. And something, because, I chalked it up. I didn't know. I had no idea what it meant. I didn't know it was related to Ward, but that was exactly what it was related to.
Yep. All right. Let's get to some Ole Miss preview.
All right. Or
let's start with the article that Seth released this morning.
Oh yeah.
It's a 2-part article. There was the one that was released today. Humans are not hardware. You have to correct me if I'm wrong. I read it quickly and didn't spend a lot of time interacting in the comments. Basically talking about the current state of strength and conditioning programs across the country, especially
right.
relating to Maryland and the death of Jordan McNair earlier this summer. And actually was quoting Rusty Witt, who I think the quote was from a coach's convention where he's speaking to other strength coaches.
He's saying
stuff like, these guys aren't Navy SEALs. The point isn't to push them until they're broken. Seth points out the mentality of the strength and conditioning coaches used to be to push them as hard as they could to see what they had, to toughen them up mentally and physically. But unfortunately, when that happens, with that mindset, you get unnecessary injuries and deaths. So this is part two. Part one was just as good, and you have to remind me on that one, the title and the topic.
Oh, I have to look at that too. I'm hung up on part one right now. It was about Kingsbury's player development was what he talked about in part one. But yeah, the second one was just, I don't know. It's always, I like when Seth does this and just kind of takes a look at just kind of the psyche behind the program here and there, and how the sausage gets made a little bit. That was not a purposeful pun or a callback, sorry. But it was, it was good to see him quote Rusty Witt, who appears to have a really solid philosophy and is probably, you know, very, very strict and maybe not hard on you, but expects a lot out of you, but also realistic and also not someone who is going to push you to the point of, you know, he knows your limits and he knows people's limits and he's going to respect that.
Well, and just, I mean, kind of, wow. I think that kind of goes back to his strength and conditioning, like his philosophy of building these players' bodies, you know, in a way that one is going to be beneficial for them, but also beneficial for the game. Whereas we've seen other Texas Tech strength and conditioning coaches go for just size or just speed.
Just get large.
Yeah. Or just get fast. Now, we do have a speed coach, or at least we used to. I would assume he's still with the staff. And that's still an emphasis with the strength and conditioning program. But you see, you know, Rusty Witt is doing, you know, exercise and workouts that are meant to build strength that directly correlates to the game and not, you know, we're just going to get your biceps and your chest as big as we can just right. Because it looks cool.
Right, yeah, yeah. And have a purpose for it. You know, do exercises that will be useful, that will actually have production on the field. You know, if doing 1,000 pounds on the leg press doesn't help
snap
you in
your
any
leg.
Way, then don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to bring up to you, Spencer, was at the very end,
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Seth kind of threw in, I wouldn't call it a hot take by any means, but he threw in a pretty good little bit of his opinion on things, and I'm just going to read the last paragraph just for context. So Seth says this at the end. I mentioned in the prior piece that during Kingsbury's birthday surprise that he looked surprised, a bit embarrassed, happy, and flattered. This is officially his baby from the top down, and make no mistake that I'm cheering for Kingsbury to succeed. Regardless as to what happens this year, I honestly believe that Kingsbury has the program in a better place than when he found it. And I wanted to ask you if you feel the same way. He didn't say that. This is me talking. That was me asking Spencer, by the way.
I hate to be like diving into semantics, but like, okay, when you talk about the program, what do you think he means? You think he means like overall direction?
I think what
do you think he means talent?
I think what he means is developing players, recruiting kids who want to be here, and trying to establish a culture. I think that's what he means by program. Because
so let's start with that first piece because you brought up three. The first one you said was,
developing players, I think.
Developing players, absolutely, yes. It seemed like previous coaching staff was get the best players you could get in and then just run them until they're done, right? And what you had is what you got. There wasn't any, you know, we're going to get this guy and we're going to get him up. We're going to make him into the best player possible. It just seemed like they got a guy in and that's who you got for 3 or 4 years or, you know, less if he flamed out or got injured or whatever. I can't speak to what the program was like under Mike Leach in that aspect, but I think, you know, at least from Tuberville to Kingsbury, there's a definite improvement in terms of player development. And I think that would go along with the culture of the program. But what was the second one you mentioned, the middle one?
I think getting guys here that want to be here.
So I think with the recruiting difficulties, if you will, the situation surrounding the isolation of Texas Tech, in-state rivals, I think you have to base your recruiting on guys that want to be here to get the best guys you can that want to be here.
Right.
Because we've seen Kingsbury, especially early on, go after those maybe top-end talent that didn't want to be here, either got them to commit and they decommitted or left, or they got to school and then transferred. So I would say he's probably getting better at that throughout his tenure, but it wasn't always that way.
Right. I don't know. I agree with Seth on a lot of this. I will admit it's because
Get an opinion.
I really like I really like Kingsbury, but and I know that he's even voiced that he's not sold on him still being here. Really, I think he was ready for him to be gone. Not after this year, maybe even after I think it was after 2016. He was open for a change then. So for him to say that's he's still looking at it from a non-biased point of view, really. So I do think that despite what the records have shown, which have been bad, and especially in conference play, that I do think this team is in a better place than when he got here. I think it was probably a lot of those players saw the writing on the wall, probably never really planned on Tupperville sticking around that much or that long, and may have dealt with it the same fashion and kind of looked at it as, well, I'll just play here till I'm done, and it's not going to be being a Red Raider may not be that important. It's just going to help me get through college and get to the next phase of my life. So I feel like Kingsbury and these guys are kind of trying to instill that portion of it a lot more and showcase what the university can offer, what Lubbock can offer, even though it's out here by itself. And it's a good building block to keep these kids coming back. I feel like I meandered a lot on that answer, but I do think he has it in a better place than when he found it in that aspect. Let's not talk about halftime loss records and whatnot.
2-20.
No, we're good.
All right, so let's talk about if the program being in a better spot is going to turn into an extra win or loss. Specifically talking about Ole Miss coming up September 1st, Saturday.
I can't believe it.
Sorry. So Michael and I discussed this might be one of our more difficult previews to do. I think I mentioned when we first started, one, because we're recording a little early. We don't have any games to go on this season. We just have a bunch of, we think this. Like, we don't know who's going to be healthy on either team. Really the starting lineups or any of that kind of stuff. So we're diving in Ole Miss preview 30 minutes into a preview podcast because we're dipping our toes and we're a little anxious or with some intrepidation. Is that the word?
Maybe just trepidation.
Trepidation? Not yeah. We're not Latin trepidus.
I think an intrepid was a...
A journey.
A dodge.
A vehicle. There we go. Which is funny because now they have a journey.
Of course they do.
They have an intrepid and a journey. All right, Ole Miss.
They're located in Mississippi.
In Oxford. Gosh, I blanked on. I've got two cousins that go to Ole Miss. I was like, where is that? So I have family that go to Ole Miss. I've got another cousin, a brother. So there's three cousins in that family. Two went to Ole Miss. One is at Southern Miss. Anyways, Ole Miss, Oxford. We'll be playing the game in Oxford, in the Grove. We're going to be playing in Houston. We've read some preview articles. Again, it's...
Some good, some bad.
Some good, some bad. Like, you can immediately tell when they say Texas Tech is going to have a bad defense. Like, they don't know what they're talking about.
Nope.
The first one, though, was kind of a mixed bag because he said the first 1-45 is going to win this game.
Yeah.
We're like, it's going to be the one of the best, wildest shootouts of the week. And we're like, that's not really going to be Texas Tech's MO this year.
No, not
but
at all.
But the further we got into the preview, he said, he actually mentioned, this may be Tech's best defense under Kingsbury. He's like, he does know.
But then he went on to finish that sentence and say, but it's Texas Tech.
It's still Texas Tech.
So thanks.
You're still going to have to fight that kind of opinion around the country. I think the biggest thing is, from when I started thinking about this game, and I was like, we're going to just get manhandled because it's SEC and they're going to have defense. Ole Miss has like the worst defense in their conference.
They do. I felt the same way. I thought even if they weren't that great on paper, they're just going to be
they're gonna be
so much bigger and so much
faster.
Yeah, these guys are all going to be playing NFL football in 24 months. You know, there's just no way. But that's not the case.
Absolutely false.
And the guys that they did have that were wrecking shop last year, which weren't many of them.
I think the article, the big preview from Bill Connelly listed out three specific guys on defense.
Yep.
They're top three sack leaders, basically. They're two defensive ends and a linebacker. They combined for, I think it was 14.5 sacks for the defense, for the defensive lineman, and then another two or three for the linebacker. All three of those players are gone.
Yep.
And that was their high point on their defense was adjusted sack rate, which sounds...
everybody get your adjusted sack rates checked.
That was the high point that kind of bolstered their defense to not be absolutely dead last. I think they ranked in the advanced metrics 113th.
Yeah, it was 113th.
You're talking about like 2015, 2014 Texas Tech type of defense.
They
couldn't
were second
stop anybody.
In 2014.
Yeah, so they've fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Do you?
Hugh Freeze. And sanctions.
Any idea? Any idea how that happened?
They got caught paying people, Michael. That's
T-shirts, man. Gotta get your T-shirts.
Offense, on the other hand, is a different question. They have this identity of being fast and fun on offense, kind of outside the norm of an SEC team. Their players, despite losing Shea Patterson, he transferred out to Michigan, despite losing him, should still be fairly explosive. However, let me tell you, A.J. Brown is maybe not the big-time receiver that everybody should be scared of.
Hang on. Now, I might interpret this a different way than you.
Okay. When I was looking into this, it's like, okay, everybody talks about A.J. Brown, and they talk about the NWO, which I think is the stupidest name for their wide receiver core.
I hadn't heard of this. You got to tell them what this is.
They got this nickname from their wide receivers coach on his very first day on the job. NWO, obviously talking about the rapper group.
No, NWO.
No, the wrestlers. The wrestlers, I'm sorry.
That's NWA.
Yeah, there we go, sorry. The wrestlers, NWO in terms of Ole Miss stands for Nasty Whiteouts, which that's super lazy.
I'm going to sigh really big into the microphone.
They also have a wrestling style belt that they carry around and they celebrate with. It's like the turnover chain at Miami. It's ridiculous.
Tech did something like that I kind of got a kick out of. But I think it was, I'm thinking basketball actually.
Well, it was that they also had
the defensive something in
chain
basketball.
And the sledgehammer. But this was like the last year under Tuberville, I think, because
they were the chain gang.
Chain gang, yes.
Yeah,
it was
that's
like
right.
Terrence Bullitt, Cody Davis, Trey Porter were all like the big leaders in that. Anyways.
Okay.
NWO have this belt. They celebrate. I'm not impressed. One. Okay, so I was looking at AJ Brown. I looked up his highlight video. I was watching a highlight video. And something I noticed pretty quickly. One, it's a 3-minute video, 45 seconds with just like intros. Like, if you have a 3-minute video and you aren't just like blasting out all these like ridiculous touchdowns, you don't have as much as you think you do.
Just, you know, editing skill. Just
sure.
To show off.
He's setting up the story. Like,
he's setting up the story. That's it.
I'm going to hook you 45 seconds in and then give you 2 minutes of highlights. No.
In 2001, A.J. Brown came in.
So, dude's wrecking shop in this video. And I'm noticing, like, I don't recognize any of these uniforms, right? This is like SEC. Like, I know the SEC teams. Don't recognize any of the uniforms. Because
there was a diving catch against Kentucky,
yeah,
where he hit the pylon,
and he had a couple. He probably had a couple plays. I didn't watch the whole video. I was like, "This is stupid."
I made it about two and a half.
And then a couple against Mississippi State. But his biggest games, especially that were showcased in this highlight video, were against the University of South Alabama, University of Tennessee at Martin,
yeah,
Vanderbilt, and Louisiana Lafayette. So, okay, Brown did have 1,000 yards receiving. He didn't
12, play 52.
He didn't play in two games. score 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He didn't play in one game. Sorry, there's 2 weeks he doesn't have any stats. One was probably a bye week. So, 1,200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Against South Alabama, first game, he had 233 yards. UTM had 156. Vanderbilt, 174. University of Lafayette, Louisiana Lafayette, 184. And then against his hometown rival, because he's from Starkville, Mississippi, against Mississippi State, he went off for 167.
Which
he, a little bolstered because he had like an 80-yard pass in there. So like he went five catches for like 60 yards and then a big one.
Was he recruited by Freeze?
Probably because he's a junior now.
And there's that whole Starkville connection, yeah. Kind of weird stuff going. I don't know. I'm completely making stuff up on that right now.
So, games where he was either at home or playing nobody, he racked up all of his yards. And Michael, you said, in his six wins.
Yeah, in his...
In the six wins Ole Miss posted, A.J. Brown had...
He had 51 catches for 980 yards and 10 touchdowns.
So, of his 1,250 yards, almost 1,000 of them came in six games. Which means in five other games, he had 200 yards.
Yeah, and in six losses, he had 24 catches, 272 yards, one score. But you can interpret it that one way or another. You could interpret it as in maybe these teams lost because they figured out how to cover him.
Well, but it wasn't like he went off for big yards at the beginning of the season and then he dwindled off. If he played any kind of defense, he didn't do anything. Against Alabama, one catch, 6 yards. At Auburn, he had 10 catches, which is second in terms of most in the season. He had one game, we had 14. 10 catches for 109, so about 11 yards a catch. LSU, 4 catches for 39 yards. Arkansas, 2 catches for 48. At Kentucky, 7 catches for 65. Home against A&M, 7 catches for 70 yards. Like, this is fairly pedestrian for... The one of the best receivers in the country.
I agree, but I think he just wasn't targeted as much. I bet the quarterback was pressured or something because Connelly had this other great stat, and we talked about this before we started recording too. Connelly says, here's a complete list of FBS players with at least 90 targets, 75% catch rate, and 15 yards per catch in 2017. The complete list. All right, y'all ready? Listening. Ole Miss's A.J. Brown and Texas Tech's Kiki Kuti. That's it. Those are the only two. So A.J. Brown was targeted 94 times and caught it 80% of the time. So it just feels like he wasn't in some of these big games. Maybe they just couldn't get the ball out. They couldn't get it to him. Maybe he
so when
they did double him.
When they played a decent defense.
You're right.
Nothing happened.
That's true. I guess so. With some big physical... defensive backs who could cover well. Because I did watch that video. He's one of those guys. He's 6'1 or 6'2, 225, every bit of it. I completely believe that.
He's a very dense 6'1.
He is. And he
to
muscled
be carrying 225
some,
or 230.
Yeah, and he was muscling balls away from guys. And then he has to be, this is going to sound like it's a non-compliment, but he's got to be like one of the slower, fast guys you'll see. Because he doesn't look like he's moving fast, but no one's catching him. I mean, I guess he has long strides. I don't know what it is, but you watch some of his highlights and you think, man, how's he going to make it? But there's no one in the frame or he's just outrunning everybody. It just, somehow it doesn't look like it, and I can't explain why.
So I'm not saying A.J. Brown's not good.
Oh, no, I get you. It's just when, if there's a defense that
with
is capable...
Pulse. A pulse.
Is capable of pressuring the quarterback and or getting a couple guys on him most of the time, then...
A pulse.
He's going to have trouble getting open. Okay, I get your point. I get your point.
Speaking of that, though, on the flip side, looking at Ole Miss's defense, so their adjusted sack rate, they were really good in it, but Bill Connelly made the point... Oh, gosh. I need to reference this really quickly before I'm going to butcher it.
On the adjusted sack rate, my new favorite stat. that's what baseball players do a lot. We need to monitor baseball players' adjusted sack rate.
Oh my gosh. That was too good.
Thanks. I've been working that, workshopping that in my head. My head said it was okay to go ahead and say it out loud.
Okay, sorry. Defense. Talking about Ole Miss defense. If this is from Bill Conley's article, if they could force you to pass, if they could force the opponent into passing, they could get you into trouble because they were so good sack with the adjusted sack rate. Now, we did point out those three guys are gone. And he said, unfortunately, they couldn't force you to pass. They were 83rd in standard downs success rate. And Michael had a discussion what standard downs means. Basically, it says it's a toss-up basically between pass or run. So first and 10, second and 7 or fewer, third and 4 or
those
fewer.
Those are all standard downs.
Those are standard downs. Passing downs would be second and 8 or more, third and 5 or more, fourth and 5 or more. So they couldn't force you into, they couldn't force you to pass because their standard down success rate was so bad, which means they couldn't stop you. They couldn't get you into a passing down.
We kind of know how that feels.
Right? Like you could run the ball and get the 3 yards you need to keep on track or just keep moving the chains, passing it. And most of that pass rush came from Breland Sparks. He was drafted by the Chiefs. Marquise Haynes, who went to the Panthers. And like I said, we talked about those two earlier. They combined for 14 and a half sacks. And then linebacker DeMarcus Gates, leader and non-sack tackles for loss and roughs, run stuffs, also gone. So if they're going to be making any improvements on defense, it's going to be with experience, because they were talking about that they don't have any, or from what I've seen, they don't know, they haven't identified like a star player that's going to step up. Like you think about the Texas Tech defense, you're looking at Jayshon Johnson, Dakota Allen.
Justice
Parker's another good one I was blanking on. Your cornerbacks are kind of like where you can make the comparison back to Ole Miss. They're good. They've got experience. We just need to see what they can do. Same kind of thing basically across the board with Ole Miss defense. They've got some guys that they should be looking towards for improvement. But the 2017 defense in the advanced stats of S&P Plus ranked 113th.
Yeah.
So even as a Texas Tech offense that may be trying to find its way, you may be able to find your way against one of the worst defenses, at least 2017, in the country, that then lost some of their key contributors.
Yeah, some of the guys that kept them from being 128 are no longer there.
On the flip side, their offense was ranked S&P rating for 2017 number 9.
Yep, and it was either that was good for either number 1 or number 2 in the SEC, I think.
Number right? 1 in the SEC. Texas Tech, not that we had a great offensive year last year, we came at 25th in these rankings.
That's still crazy. That just still blows my mind that no one here really thinks we had a great offensive year last year, cuz we didn't.
Top 25, though.
Still top 25. That just still blows me away every time.
In terms of success rates, meaning like on those standard downs, are you getting the yards you need? Ole Miss had a rating of a score of 111. Texas Tech had 115, almost really close together. That ranked for 29th for Ole Miss, 15th for Tech. Explosiveness, very similar to Tech. Rushing success, they were actually quite a bit lower than Tech. Kind of surprising since they lost their leading rusher from last year. They're trying to figure out who's going to replace him. I think their biggest thing is their passing game, with this NWO and the Jordan Ta'amu, the quarterback. Significantly better than Tech, actually. Their offense was ranked 14th. Passing offense, passing S&P Plus. Wow, sorry, let me get this right. Ranked 14th, Texas Tech was 35th.
Oh, yeah.
So actually, our rushing offense raised our overall S&P rating, whereas that's not been the...
Hopefully that'll happen again this year, and I think it will. Just having a few more running options thrown in there in the mix. I wanted to point out something. You're talking about defensive standouts. I mentioned on the previous podcast I went to the Chamber of Commerce breakfast on Tuesday.
You didn't save me any bacon.
Saved you no bacon. I won't even tell you what was all on the menu. I can, though. I would gladly relive that. But it was on the 22nd, I believe. So that morning was the morning that Kingsbury told us all that he's got three guys who can play quarterback, and he's not worried about it. And then he went on later that morning, I think even, and said that he's decided who it's going to be. But what I didn't mention was that I'd been to another, some sort of function where Kingsbury was a speaker there. And at that function and at this one, he mentioned Joe Wallace being a standout for a defensive line. Mm-hmm. He mentioned him again. And then he also mentioned Preston Gordon on our behalf, because I was thinking of Mike Thomas and how much I miss him already. But
I want to miss him running out of the pile with the ball holding up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that we can, you know, we'll have Dakota Allen, Jason Johnson, Justice Parker, all those guys. I'm hoping that we can add Joe Wallace and Preston Gordon to that list that we, you know, that we talk about when we describe big playmakers for Tech defense. So I hadn't really heard much about Preston Gordon, but he'd mentioned Joe Wallace a few times, and he's a very large man. So I am pretty optimistic about that and hoping that they can disrupt these guys once they come to Houston.
So let's talk about the game. How do we think it's going to go? If we look at the first couple games, 2017, the defense really set the tone of the first possession. Against Eastern Washington, turnover. Against Houston, turnover. They first forced turnovers on the very first possessions of those first two games.
Man, they did.
Ended up winning those games. The Houston game ended up being a lot closer than it would have been because of late comeback when
quarterback change.
Major Applewhite's like, let's actually play the quarterback that's going to win the game.
Yeah.
Those two games weren't in question, really. Like, you set the tone. You took care of business, except for, like I said, the Houston at the very end. Because you forced a turnover early. I would love to see a Dakota Allen pick six first possession.
Oh, just that would be amazing.
Just go ahead and raise your hands.
It's just like, got the hands in there.
Some praise hands up. Some guns up. There's I can't remember which game it was. It was a highlight video. It may have been for the bowl game. I don't know. The angles from like way up in the back of the end zone looking down towards the field goal post. They score. You see a Tech fan raise their guns up with a big class ring on, guns up. Like, it takes up like a third of the screen right in the middle. It's like, yes.
I love those.
It's a beautiful shot.
I love those. These guys that are famous and they have no idea.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about this game. I think Ole Miss defense will be worse than they were last year. They were awful in 2017. They lost their best guys. That they will be more experienced. But that's more of an incremental thing. Whereas, like, you get better incrementally with experience, you lose a bunch, then you know, that talent obviously leaves, and you're then looking towards freshmen to take the roles that you had seniors in or guys going to the NFL. I think regardless of your quarterback, as long as they're not running for their life, you should be able to find success on the ground, in the air, enough to keep the ball moving and to keep your offense going.
I think we have the advantage at the line on our offense versus their defense.
Because they lost a few offensive linemen, correct?
They sure did. And then they, I may have said that backwards. Offensive line versus their defensive line.
All five of our guys are back. They're replacing at least two, if not also a defensive tackle that was not in the sack.
Right, and two of their starting tackles are they're juniors this year, but Conley went on to say that there are four other players, a tackle, two in and three ends that combined to miss 21 games last year.
That's a lot of games this year.
So they're very inexperienced. And
experienced in years, maybe not so much in games because they missed so many games.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, so I think our five guys can take them on. I feel pretty good about that. I'm not sure about quarterback play yet. We'll just have to see on that. But
as long as they can take care of the ball,
yeah,
I think we should be.
I think we get some short passes out. We can move some guys and get some lanes cleared to run the ball a little bit, and hopefully kind of make it to where the quarterback doesn't feel like he has to do everything, where he can hand it off and he can dump it off and just move the chains and get a nice 7-minute drive. And
amused at like thinking about looking back at this game in a week and a half after it's happened, we're like, man, we were so wrong. or
it's going to be
spot on.
Yeah, it's
I called it.
These are going to be fun to relive and see how terribly wrong we were.
Yeah, like the take on Dana Ward did not age well. Okay, so talking about the Texas Tech offense versus their defense, I think you have the advantage there. You'll probably be stopped a few times with a new quarterback also going against. I mean, like I want her to be realistic and say, okay, don't expect success on every drive where you're scoring touchdowns. They are terrible, terrible defense. You're breaking a new quarterback. Flip side, though, your defense versus their offense, I think you still have an advantage, especially along the lines and linebackers. I think they probably have the advantage on receivers versus your defensive backs.
That's what I was getting at, too. I think so.
I think they're going to be relying heavily on the pass and look for big explosive plays. So if you can keep them in front of you, because there were very few times in 2017 where you got beat deep or it was awful. And you got beat by guys like James Washington a couple of times. It wasn't like he torched you the entire game. You didn't give up like 200 yards to like a Josh Doctson.
Right. You wouldn't get beat, but you would just have guys wide open. That seemed like they were waiting for, oh, they're going to throw the ball to him. Okay, I'll run towards him now and tackle him, maybe, hopefully, once he gets it. Yeah, they weren't just full-on getting beat in foot races, but it was just some soft coverage, and I'm sure that's by design because that's what you see.
But it also forced the opposing offense. Yes, you got some yards on that play. You had to keep doing that. You had to keep finding.
Right.
And with the Texas Tech defense, you know, going after turnovers the way they were, they were much better improved tackling in space one-on-one. It wasn't we're going to watch some guy dive at his feet and miss every time. I mean, they weren't perfect. They were much improved over previous years where we just harped on this defense can't tackle.
Yeah.
They were much better at rallying to the ball. You'd get two or three guys there. So Ole Miss replacing or building on their quarterback that they brought in midway through the last season because Shea Patterson was hurt, replacing their running back, a couple guys on the offensive line, got some good receivers. We both picked a win for this game in Austin, or not in Austin, in Houston. Mm-hmm. Currently still a week and a half out. I think the line is Texas Tech minus 1.5. They're expecting a close game.
Really?
But on a neutral field, they're still saying Texas Tech is a better team because there is no advantage. Although I think there will be more of an advantage in the crowd for Tech than there will be for Ole Miss. I don't know if that's contributed into this at all because I don't know if they look at, yes, it's neutral site, but it's still pretty close to Tech and our alumni base versus Ole Miss. I don't know. 1.5, I think it'll be a close game. Obviously, I don't think it's going to be too far out of that. I'm thinking probably in the 4 to 10 range.
Yeah, I think we're in the – we both agree that it's not going to be a shootout.
Not
right?
Like – so.
And, that's and not what
the,
I would think.
The preview that said this was going to be the first of 45, it was like 45 to 40 game. I don't think it'll get that high. It may be like a 30 – I'm going to probably take like a touchdown off. It may be like a 34-38 mm-hmm. or a 35-30 type of game.
Here's the Texas Tech
or
minus two line, right?
Ooh.
Right now. So, yeah, you're...
I mean, who am I?
I don't know.
Will Ferrell, one of those stupid gifs.
Oh, where he's the...
Ah, the meatloaf.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't know what she's doing back there. I don't know what she's doing. Okay, so Texas Tech minus two. We're going to take Texas Tech to win this game in Houston. Set the season off.
Are we taking it with the spread?
Yeah, because I think it'll be more in the 4 to 10 would be like I think it would be a pretty sizable, like you would feel good if you won by 10 points. It may not be that. It may be like a 4 to 6 point win for Tech. So yes, win and cover
with
obviously because a 2 points.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like you could win by one pretty easily, without it being goofy.
Or winning by three is...
Would also cover the spread.
That would work.
So, give me Tech to cover the spread with the win. I'm going to say like 34-31, 35-31 type game.
I could even see it being 38, a
35. There's probably a field goal in there somewhere, and we're all going to
have a heart
attack.
I'm seeing like a 31-27 thing is what yes. I'm kind of hoping okay. for.
I can be down for that.
And I'm with Tech covering.
Yeah.
So I – gosh, guys, is it here yet? Can we watch football yet? I'm really ready to watch it now.
By the time this podcast release, I think we're one day out from the first games, the week zero game. No, the week zero games are this weekend.
Yeah,
they will already have been.
What if Kingsbury
football.
Announces the starting quarterback after we've recorded this?
And it completely changes our preview. No, I don't think it will. Because I think we're talking about, you know, McLean Carter versus Jet Duffy. Similar enough in styles. I think McLean probably won't run as much as Duffy would. But
Duffy's got him on arm strength too, I think.
We still saw McLean run it a little bit in Austin. Arm strength, so we're looking for short intermediate passes and a little bit of zone read. Whereas with Duffy would be probably a little more zone read and deeper passes with maybe a turnover or two more than Carter.
Right, maybe trying.
I don't know. I don't
pop it a little further.
I don't want to change like the game preview prediction based on quarterback. I think it would.
I don't
with
think
McLean
would
Carter. I'm leaning back towards your prediction, 31-27. I think it's a good number for this game.
Me too, because I thought of it.
It'd be funny if you'd like. I don't think that's a good one. We did not ask for listener questions. It would be kind of strange to get any in this far in advance. You have something written?
I do.
ASDF? What am I missing here? What is that?
Oh, called? Nothing. That's, sorry.
Oh,
in
you
In our
just...
show notes? Yeah, it's just, that was just a space holder.
Okay.
I do that with the four keys on my... Yeah, to just keep the formatting correctly on our document.
All right.
No, that doesn't mean anything. That's just
Since we met keyboard. On Tuesday, there's no update to the cord cutting corner or going yard. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed in 2 days.
There is one last note here. What did we learn?
What did we learn?
On a personal note here.
It's a little personal note. My wife and I, we had our first date at Fox and Hound here in Lubbock. And we knew, you know, we knew what year it was. We knew it was in August. But we couldn't remember what day it was. And so my wife had me look it up through credit card records of all things. So I went back to 2010 and dug up credit card records. And so because of the Fox and Hound credit card transaction, we were able to trace it back to August 18th, 2010.
You sure it wasn't some other girl you'd taken out?
I am positive. And what was really sad was the rest of my credit card transactions was, I think, 95% fast food.
I mean, fast food and gas.
Yeah, it was fast food and United and gas and Fox and Hound. that was like all it was. But so because of that, the 18th was this last Saturday. Fox and the Hound, as some of y'all know, closed down 2 or 3 years ago, but Las Brisas opened it back up and completely redid it, and it's now called Brisas Seafood and Lounge. So we celebrated our 8-year first date anniversary on 8/18/18 at 8 p.m.
Oh.
In the same building where we met. Completely different restaurant, but same building. So that was just kind of fun.
I don't have anything like that. Samantha and I started dating, like we were officially dating, like that first week of February of 2010.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So y'all.
And then we got married. And
y'all were Facebook official a few months before we were.
And then we got married quite a bit earlier than you guys did. We got married May of 2011. So we'd been together just over a year.
Yeah.
We were young. Young pups.
Y'all were young. Still are.
Going to turn 22. I was 2 weeks out from my 22nd birthday when we got married. Happily married for 7 years now. No complaints, obviously. Although I wish
I've
I had a
only been married
house
just a little
and made
over
more
six.
Money.
Yeah.
Drove a bigger,
taller.
Better truck.
Wish
a little
I was
lighter.
A baller.
So thanks everybody for joining us on the Ole Miss preview. Looking forward to doing the Ole Miss instant reaction Saturday at some point.
Yeah, we've kind of had some discussions on this.
Hopefully we're gonna be hooting and hollering a win.
It's gonna be interesting. We're gonna make them as informal as we possibly can. So
I think currently the plan is to meet and do this in a truck.
Yeah.
Just to have the AC running, just to meet AC up for 20 minutes or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about kids running through or any sort of other thing going on.
We're doing any kind of big production with this. It'll be quick. May post it right after that without any kind of post-processing editing and intros and outros.
Directly
and music.
To the tubes.
Just I may record it through the Podbean app and release it right then.
Oh, that'd be great. Just live stream it.
Well, it wouldn't be live. It would be like, as soon as we hit done, it would go up.
Oh, well.
As opposed to now, like where there's a few hour delay because I get back, edit it, and then I will schedule it to release a few hours later. Thanks again to Chad Hasty for getting us some really awesome pens.
Yeah.
Robert Duncan's Veterinary School.
It looks pens. Very official. Whoever made those is probably, Texas Tech probably does not appreciate how official they look. they look very good.
We've discussed, we'll probably need to invite Chad on one of our shows and just have him completely school us on how to do this whole.
Oh, man. I know it's
talk show.
Yeah,
thing.
He asked me. He's like, man, why don't y'all get me on? I think he's kind of hurt that we haven't reached out to him. So we'll have to get in touch with PR, Chad, in case you're listening, and make sure that they send you a fruit basket or something to make sure that we're serious.
And get your invite in the mail.
Yep.
And obviously, we've been talking about this since we started. We need to get Brian on at some point.
Yeah.
One of like the only members that's taking the planes that hasn't joined us yet. I have to get Keith on at some point, the newest member. Get Seth back on. They'll probably have to join us on one of the preview posts, maybe a post game with Keith.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. We'll
we could switch up post games, or yeah, but Keith's
we'll roll
here.
Through it.
Keith's
yeah,
here in town. Labar's here.
Labar,
of course. Labar may be at the game. It may be harder to.
I'll be at a lot of the games too for our corporate promotion. I'm actually maybe working a lot of the games or working during a lot of the games at the game.
Y'all might get to hear, and I haven't even told him this. But my friends that are coming in on for West Virginia,
yes.
Depending on how many of them feel like talking, Spencer's okayed the prospect of them getting on the podcast.
Of course I okayed. I was like, you were talking about like having to figure out some kind of special schedule. Like, no, just have them on, do it with me.
Yeah, because I said, well, I've got some friends coming in, you know, and I'm not sure when we want to record the podcast after the West Virginia game. And Spencer's like, well, do they want to be on a podcast? And I said, well, I'm pretty certain one of them does. And so that could get interesting too if we can get the Ace Man on, if we can get him
especially
mic'd up
if you and some of your friends are inebriated.
Now we might have hit the sauce a little bit on West Virginia Day. It's possible.
I mean, it's West
we
Virginia.
Don't know,
you
well,
have to.
We don't
you
know
had, like
what
a
time,
jug of moonshine.
Yeah, well, and it all depends on what time of the game is. So
11. Just kidding. I'm ready for that.
It's foregone conclusion. It's 11.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us again. Hopefully, we will be a little shorter on these previews because we won't be as nervous to jump into it and have all these intro topics and news. But there's plenty of news to talk about. The articles on Taking the Plane, the Daylon Ward update. Of course, the Kolache discussion had to be had.
Yep. Yeah, we got to bring that up.
So, for Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast.